You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, including during the offseason. And I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. You know what we're talking about this. We're going to be talking about Cora. We're going to be talking about the suspensions. We're going to talk about the firing. We're talking about the cloud over Carlos Beltran's head. But we're also going to talk about something that I really don't want to talk about, but it's there and we should address it. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Podbean, all the places where you get your podcasts. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On MLB. Lots of great stuff that Eric and company are doing there. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter and Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Okay, I took the day off yesterday to play that evergreen podcast that I was going to post, and then all hell broke loose with the Houston Astros, and I pushed it aside for one day. And lo and behold, the news cycle is so fast in the middle of January, who knew that so many things were going to happen while I took that day off. So here we are. Alex Cora was fired by the Red Sox, or however they framed it. It was a mutual decision. Yeah, right. Yeah, Alex Cora just woke up one day and said, you know what? You know what I'd rather do? I'd just rather go home now. Yeah, the fact that it took place on the heels of the cheating scandal is, you know, that was a coincidence. Obviously, it was part of it, and obviously, there was a moment where they said, Alex, you didn't mention this in the interview. You could have mentioned something, and it's embarrassing to his employer, and it's going to be dragging the team into something, into a quagmire of controversy. And I said the other day, yeah, he cheated. And for people who were saying I was poo-pooing or downplaying everything, no, I do believe cheating is part of the game, and I do believe getting caught for cheating is part of the game, and paying the price is part of the game. And Cora, Hinch, and everyone, they got caught. And the Astros, instead of dealing with the suspension, said, no, we're not going to deal with this. We're going to turn the page. The Red Sox did the same thing. And I have no problems with any of that. I do think the controversy of stealing signs and banging a trash can is whimsical and kind of goofy, but it's still breaking the rules, and you have to pay the consequences of breaking the rules. They got a year suspension for cheating, and there's a ton of outrage. There's a ton of outrage that was done, especially when you consider that the teams that Hinch and Cora managed won the World Series in 2017, 2018. How are we supposed to look at those World Series rings? And yes, I know Cora was only found guilty of what he did with the Astros, but come on. You're trying to tell me he wasn't pulling shenanigans with the Red Sox? And isn't it interesting that the Red Sox and Astros met each other in both 2017 and 2018. That's just some, put that aside. Here's what I'm having an issue with. The length of the suspension. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have a year-long suspension. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, take a look at another thing that you could be suspended for. And I don't really want to be talking about this. I don't want to bring this topic up again. But I see the outrage, and I see the indignation about cheating and saying you got justice served and people really concerned about this, that, or the other thing. But where is the same anger when it comes to domestic violence in baseball? Why is it that Aroldis Chapman and Jose Reyes and Addison Russell and Domingo Germán and Stephen Wright and, hell, for that matter, Bobby Cox are allowed to continue to play after they serve their suspension without the same outrage? And why are their suspensions so much less than cheating and banging a trash can and looking into the video room to steal signs and everything like that? This is one of those things where you show your values by the punishment. You show what you think is more egregious. Gambling on baseball is a lifetime suspension first time. We all know that. Pete Rose got caught. Now, I'm not saying to lower the punishment of some of these other things. If you're caught gambling, that is the punishment. If you're cheating the way Hinch and Lunau and Cora were, that is the punishment. I'm not saying because those offenses are much less egregious than committing domestic violence. And I'm saying that they shouldn't have punishment. But I'm saying, why is the punishment so much greater for these other things? Why is using performance-enhancing drugs disqualify you from playing in the postseason, but domestic violence doesn't? I believe domestic violence should be, look, in my opinion, first-time offense should be a lifetime ban. But if you want to say that's too harsh, then you know you better look in the mirror and tell me why. But I'll make this compromise. First-time offense, lifetime ban from the postseason. You don't get to play in the postseason. No more Jose Reyes. No more Aroldis Chapman. No more Stephen Wright. Domingo Herman, forget it. None of those players can do that. You know, Brett Myers of the Phillies in 2008 doesn't get to play. And we've established something else, too, and specifically why I'm bringing this up, that the teams, the Astros and the Red Sox, made these moves, and they made them fast, and they made them decisively. The rulings came out, the findings came out, and it became clear that the stink on Hinch, the stink on Lunau, the stink on Cora was so strong for cheating in the 2017 postseason that, you know what, whether or not there's a suspension or not, we got to get you off the team. The stink of this is just too strong. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but what I am saying is, why is that not the stink of domestic abuse? Why is Aroldis Chapman at all not considered so embarrassing for the team that the idea of keeping them on puts the team in a bad light, that they can't, we can't even have you here. We can't even have you here, Addison Russell. We can't even have you here, Stephen Wright. The only reason Stephen Wright didn't play in the 2008 postseason is he blew his knee out. But he was ineligible for the postseason in 2019 because of performance-enhancing drugs. You may be able to say, oh, we want to treat domestic violence as a serious issue in Major League Baseball. But in reality, you are showing that it is less problematic than banging the trash can to indicate whether or not it's a fastball or a curveball. And the fan reaction is the same thing. It is unanimous, the reaction, including from me, that Hinch and Cora had to go. And I'm a Red Sox fan. That's my manager. My team doesn't have a manager now. And I love what Joey Cora, that's his brother, Alex Cora did as the manager of the Red Sox. I do. And I love that 2018 World Series. I'll watch the clips of it later tonight. But he had to go. I said that on the show a couple of days ago. And I said a month ago that I believe the Red Sox were involved in all of this. And you're crazy to think it's only the Astros and Red Sox, by the way. I guarantee you, they start peeling away at this onion. There's been a lot of stuff that's been done. But the anger, the collective anger, the unanimous anger that was flung at Cora and at Hinch, why is that not unanimous anger for Reyes and Wright? And Bobby Cox is treated like an icon, even though the calls about the domestic violence against his wife took place the year the Braves won the World Series in 1995. Why is that considered to be a quirk of my fandom where I've actually had people write to me and say, hey, stick to baseball? Isn't that a worse offense? Isn't that a worse reflection on your team than stealing signs and banging a trash can? And I bet you anything, I'm going to get some responses from people who are not agreeing with me. I wrote a thing saying permanent ban from the postseason for a first offense of domestic violence. Someone wrote back to me and said, is this a parody account? Are you joking? And when I explained my reasoning, they were totally incredulous. Why don't we have a collective, unanimous thought on this issue? And if you're listening to me right now and disagreeing with me, why? What is it about it that you disagree with? Do you think that it's worse to steal sign than commit domestic violence? I'm not saying to not punish those who steal signs and cheat. I've made that very clear. And I'm fine with the punishment they got. But I would rather have every single team, hacking into each other's computers, pulling a Mission Impossible being lowered from the ceiling to download information, and then having a series of steel drum drummers banging away, telling the hitters what the next pitch is going to be, than to have a single player who's committed domestic violence on a major league roster. And that should be a given, and it's not. So let's take a good, hard, long look at our priorities. I like the collective anger that took place. I like the unanimous anger that took place. It makes sense. But why is one thing so obvious and the other isn't? All right, that's going to be the end of the not fun talk. You know, I'd rather just talk about trades and signings and everything like that too. I mean, that's why I do this. Baseball's my escape. It's my favorite thing to watch and follow in the world. I think I've made that kind of sort of clear. So I don't want to be thinking about these other things. I don't. I just think that every once in a while, we got to look in the mirror and ask ourselves what our priorities are. Now, I will tell you what the Minnesota Twins' priority is, and that is they brought in a absolute monster masher into a lineup that was already really dang good. The Minnesota Twins' offense was already filled with so many big home run hitters and so much power that, you know, we forget because they were bounced out of the postseason so quickly. They won 101 ball games. Garver hit 31 home runs. Cron hit 25 home runs. Scope hit 23 home runs. Polanco, Rosario, Kepler, Cruz all hit 30 home runs or more in their lineup. Even Byron Buxton, who missed half the season, he got 10 home runs. Marwin Gonzalez got 15 home runs. Jason Castro, actually, Castro's now with the Angels, so we shouldn't talk about him. But they brought in another giant masher into their lineup. Now, in a way, this is great for Minnesota Twin fans who saw their team win 101 ball games. They're going to say, hey, look, we're going to be back. They're a wild card team in 2017. They had a rotten 2018, but they're back. They had a wonderful season last year, and they beat the Indians, who everyone, including you and including me, we all thought they were going to, the Indians were going to win the division again. And so here we go. Now they lost Martin Perez, but they still have Jose Barrios, and they still have Jake Odorizzi, and their bullpen is still interesting. And they took a look at this team, and they brought in a masher. Now, part of me is a little confused because this was not what the team needed. I mean, if they get another solid year out of Nelson Cruz, then, you know, who was unbelievably good for them last year, and you got to look that they'll move some players around, and you put in Donaldson, another big right-handed bat in their lineup, you're like, okay, I guess this helps. I mean, it's the type of move that tells the team that we're going for it. We're not rebuilding. Minnesota wants to win the division. And it's an important move because you take a look at some of the other teams in their division. Now, the Cleveland Indians are, you know, in all probability going to take a significant step back. They won 93 games last year, but they trade away Corey Kluber, and they're not going to be as strong. Now, the Chicago White Sox took a look at the situation, and they've been one of the most aggressive teams in the offseason. So Minnesota, to their credit, said, hey, we don't take this division for granted. We don't take our position in the playoffs for granted. We are going to make a push. And if for no other reason to show we still want this. Fans, come see us. We're going to make an effort. Players, play hard. We want to go for it. And the Chicago White Sox are clearly a team that want to serve notice on the Minnesota Twins that they expect to leapfrog the Cleveland Indians and make a big run for it. And I am, full disclosure, I do like the White Sox a lot, and I love their offseason. I love that they've been super aggressive. I love that the Grandals and the Encarnacions and the Dallas Keuchels of the world are all going to help the team, and they keeping, but in some ways, the move. I think Keuchel is probably the biggest move that they made, but keeping Jose Abreu, who clearly loves playing for the White Sox and is a wonderful hitter to follow. I think that the White Sox are looking at a potential vacuum and say, hey, we could be that surprise team. So give the Twins credit for saying, hey, we're not going to just sit tight here. We're going to bring in a player who I think is going to be terrific in Minnesota. I think he's going to be tremendously productive in Minnesota. I think he's going to make that lineup even stronger. I think the Minnesota Twins are going to win a ton of slugfests, and they're probably going to take a look at this, you know, American League, which has its share of bottom feeders. The Tigers are going to stink. The Royals are going to stink. We're not 100% sure what the Mariners are going to be. The Orioles are going to stink. The Blue Jays are going to stink. The Twins are better than all of those teams, and they're going to smack them around. Now, what will that mean in the postseason when they're building the team like the Texas Rangers of the late 1990s? Remember those teams that had masher after masher after masher, and their pitching stunk, and they would get swept by the Yankees? Well, the Twins are getting tired of being swept by the Yankees. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right strategy to do that. I do think that the Twins should have been going after Bumgarner. They should have been going after Dallas Keuchel. They should have been going over Zach Wheeler. I know they didn't have a chance in hell of signing Gerrit Cole, but I thought Keuchel was an ideal signing for them. And now he's with the White Sox. I think the Twins can hit and mash their way to 90-some-odd wins, which is probably going to be enough to win the American League Central. What will it mean when they face a team? Now, are the Astros going to be back? Who knows how all this is going to affect them? Are the A's going to be back in there? They could pitch and they could play very well. The Yankees, their pitching staff is stacked. Tampa and some other teams that have some decent pitching, if the Twins face them and they don't get an ace season out of Barrios or some of their other pitchers, then this could be like the Texas Rangers of the 90s. But do you know what? Good for the Twins in one way, in saying, all right, we didn't get those players. We're going to get you something, even if it is more of the same. And I am going to make these podcasts more fun than this. I had to get that off my chest, and I want to ask everyone to just look in the mirror from time to time and see if we can be better as people and better as fans. I like collective outrage, but let's sometimes wonder why we think one thing is worse than the other. And if that's what the punishment is, then you're saying one thing is worse than the other. Okay, done talking about that. Send your thoughts to Sully Baseball on Twitter. Follow us on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. You know how to do all that. I know how to do all that. We're having lots of fun. This has been the Locked On MLB podcast for the 16th day of January 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.